Did you have a...
Okay.
One?
We did not last time. Last time, no, we didn't. But we didn't take any action, so it was okay. So I'm just going to open the meeting at 7:32, Planning Commission. It is Thursday, February 27th, and 7:33 now, opening the meeting. We've got in attendance David Kyle, Judy Corso, Greg Pryor, Allison Despathy, and as a public guest, we have Dawn Britton. Thanks for being here, Dawn. And thank you guys for showing up. We do have a forum, because I did have to confirm that, because we're a seven-member commission, quorum is always four. So we can meet if we don't have, like last time, we weren't taking any action. But if we ever have to take action, we have to make sure we have that.
Although so, in the
orders of procedure.
In the bylaw, it says it doesn't say we're seven members. It says 3 to 7, 5 to 7.
And that's where I ran that by Glenn. I was talking to a few people about that because of what came up last time, and it basically came to the quorum for us with the tour. We can look into it if you feel that that's different, because there is a flexible number.
If there's
it's fine.
Yeah, I think we're interpreting. There's different interpretation on it. So we're 3 to 7.
Right.
So what constitutes the quorum? And Glenn's understanding that I went to was number 4 because we're at a max of 7. But I see the argument.
Right.
So we can look into that a little more.
Right. If we only have 4 members, I don't think you have to have.
Okay. See, and that's what I was arguing based on our conversation last time. So, you know what? I'm over at the State House a bunch. I'll stop in the Secretary of State. Maybe I'll just ask them, see what the hell that goes. Look at the rules.
Do you know?
I don't. I actually forgot my. Gene probably has it.
I've got them here somewhere. But not worried about
there. I'd like to.
Yeah, because I think you guys always had sort of the full house, and you had Michael Holm and Bob Balladay and Jeff Bett. Yeah, so you guys always had. But I will also check in with them on that. But it doesn't say, it just says the 3 to 7, it says the quorum, from what I recall.
Well, it does say 4 members. I'm sorry, right in the rules it says that.
Okay.
You can read them.
It says 4 members of the body shall constitute a quorum regardless of appointed membership.
That's funny.
There we go.
And it says here, yes, however, that's our rules of procedure. That is not what's required of us.
In the bylaw.
If we should choose to change that, which I would recommend we do,
right.
We can.
Yeah.
See, in our... Well, in the state statutes,
but also
and in our zoning bylaws.
Yeah.
Our zoning bylaws indicate that, now I looked it up the last time, but in there somewhere, it says, gives a range of membership.
That's the 3 to 7. Exactly.
Right. Yeah. 3 to 7.
So right now, the way it's been mapped out is in this order of procedure, and we adjusted right. that last time, so we could also adjust that. But you know what? Before we keep going, yeah. I should also say just a few quick things, and then we can dive back into this, if you don't mind. So just with, because we sort of launched right in.
Yep.
So two quick things, if you don't mind. So one, Greg Pryor was appointed by the select board last time that we were here. David, you weren't here. We all, by consensus, said we would love to have Greg join. He checked in with Audrey and the select board. They appointed him. So Greg is officially on, so I want to welcome him. So thank you, Greg. That's awesome. Thank you for coming in to help. And then the other piece that I just wanted to go through is, real quick, if you guys don't mind, changes to the agenda. And we'll revisit this, I promise. I just want to make sure from a secretary standpoint that we get things squared away here. So this is all the handouts right here. And Dawn, if you want to take a peek here also. So any changes to the agenda that you guys see, and then we can just start right in with this back to this conversation.
Well, other than the fact that we can't accept the January minutes because there was no meeting.
Okay, so...
Well...
Right, if that, because of the quorum part.
I suppose, I mean, we can... Well, what does it say here? It says, no official meeting shall take place.
Without the quorum.
Right.
Because that's what we weren't sure about last time.
So...
But we did have discussions, so I think the question is, should those go into the record so people can follow that.
We can put them in, but I think they need to be designated as unofficial.
Yeah.
Unofficial notes.
Yeah, that does make sense. Okay. Okay, so I'll make a note of that one so we can change that to the agenda. Anything else you guys see in there that needs to change? See what we get to. And then the second piece, I wanted to see, obviously, welcoming Greg. Thank you. And Don, do you have any public comment at this time that you want to jump in with? Because we'll also do some at the end, too. Okay. Just keep me posted or just jump in and keep us posted. And the clarifications of the PC rules we can get.
Before we do that, are we going to review and accept the amended December minutes?
Yes. And I was going to see if we should see about if Greg is willing to do the minutes for this time. Because him and I had talked about that. So, Greg, are you open to doing minutes? It sounds like you're already sort of at it.
Yeah, I'm willing to believe we have... Yes.
We'll do the election piece in a second, yeah. Yep. But just to sort of nail that down. Okay, awesome, thank you. Yeah, so then just looking at the December amended minutes, you guys can see, if you don't mind, that's the first page that you have after the agenda. I added in the piece about Rob Balladay. We had taken some time to thank him and talk to him about his service and tell him we weren't going to want him too much. And then, my bad, I did not plug that in. I had a little bit about him later on in it, but I wanted to make sure that got added. So Ben did that, and I just wanted to make sure that you guys accept that. Hello, Vince.
Yes.
Vince Foy is joining us. Thank you, Vince.
Sorry about being late. I kind of got away from me.
Oh, no. That's how it goes. No problem. We were just looking at, I've got this here for you, the amended December minutes, which is the second page of that packet for you.
Okay.
And it's in red. So I just wanted to make sure that they get plugged in for Rob and all of his work. And you guys can let me know what you think of that or if you have any questions. Does that look acceptable? Okay. So then I would move to adopt the amended December 2024 minutes. Okay. All in agreement? Okay. Perfect. Okay. So that's good to go. Thank you. And then the January, I guess we can look at and see if there's any additions, but it would just be an unofficial recording of what went on in the meeting without the quorum. And this is where we had the presentation from Allison Lowe.
Yeah. So we're going to discuss the presentations.
Yeah, I had just to see if people wanted to do that.
But while we're looking at the meeting, I'm save my questions until we discuss it. But as you said, the question is, so under baseball discussions, so I wasn't here, so I'm just asking about, I guess maybe sort of so you say connections, current connections, and then the math makes sense, so 63. But the plan is to not expand just to the 160 current really need get max capacity of 6 for additional additions on supposed to 2.6. Then the final sentence says in the next 20 years we expect 400.
Yeah. I think we would need to confirm this with Allison. These were just some of the notes that were some of the things that were said. Of existing capacity, are we doing expanded capacity? Are we hooking more things up along the line?
Yeah. So just really granular. Do you remember 400 counting
in the next 20 years?
400 connections or 400 people
the town agenda. So what is that number?
I did not catch that from her. I can go back and listen to the minutes again, and we can see. Does anyone else recall?
I don't, but if they said 400, had to have been told.
Yeah.
I remember having the same exact question. And I think those two numbers spoke to at different times.
Mm-hmm.
And one might have been core Danville and the system. It's interesting.
Yeah, because some of the things like we were hearing, we could dive into all of the questions just for the sake of time. So there were some things we weren't even asking about. But we could certainly go back and revisit just to get clarity and make sure that, you know, conveying what we need.
And so, yeah, I purpose. I've not. I don't care super about this, except the purpose is to maintain the system on smooth. Is that an expected future use?
Right. Those are the questions, exactly. And that's where we were, of course, looking from a cost standpoint, you know, because that alternative four, which is what they were considering, are expected to cost 2.24. And that's just to sort of take care of what we have versus the expansion. So, of course, it all comes back to the money part of it. Yeah. And so that would be a whole other sort of level. And I think what the select board is looking to right now, and I think those would be bigger questions for the select board because they're the ones that have been really focused on the reports and what the options are, is, you know, what is the intention? Are we going to try to expand? And I think they're also looking at the grant, the money, what's going to be available. The state is trying to rally sort of this circular funding system with low interest loans, but we just don't know. So there's a lot of gray, which I know is not always a comfortable space to be in, but, sort of.
Well, I think that my understanding was what's going to happen right now is just basically making it work.
Mm-hmm.
Capacity of it right now. If anything happens in the future, that's where, it has to.
That
it's going to cost a lot of money.
And the money maintenance is coming.
It's
coming. It doesn't depend on.
There was some.
Slow.
There is some.
Yes, they're looking into that. That's part of the conversation. What can they get? What's accessible on the state federal level right now? Try to cover that cost. So that's more of a select board question. We don't have, you know, the details of it because they didn't. Or Allison didn't have details of that.
But in the report somewhere, there was a discussion about various
options,
funding options, grant options, et cetera.
And we didn't get into that detail.
So if you look at the report itself, it's in there somewhere.
And that was the 90%
report.
Yeah. And the 2.24 was basically de-sludge, and it was the cover for the second look to try to speed up the breakdown. I think there was several pump stations that were active.
It just needs a lot of maintenance.
Yeah. And it seems like it's been the case. And they need to really, the other big thing, and we're kind of off track a little bit, that's fine. We're just going for it now, which is good. And you guys can let me know on these. I'm already seeing it, get clarity on the product.
Okay, so, you know, for this agenda, regarding the agenda,
I think
an unofficial meeting.
Well, it's not an official meeting,
right?
So,
but if there's corrections, that you want to add to it, I can easily do that. So, you know, so can it at least be accessible for the town. And I can definitely do that piece that you're saying. I'll follow up with Allison so I can get clarity on that because I think just to know. So that's easy enough. But anything else that you guys are observing? And David, I know you make it so. Okay. Yeah, so. Posted question, let's do it.
So public.
No, not yet. Well, we're at the first public comment that I had asked on, but then it looks like I wanted to make sure we got to the elections, and then we can see if there's any discussion, or maybe while we're at it now, were there any more questions that you had that you weren't getting that you might have to do? Okay. And Judy and Vince, Greg, any other thoughts on the minutes at this point?
My thoughts on it is I think this is going to be a very intense space for a while, just a while, right? So getting, can we table approval, or are we just moving?
Well, you don't have to, we don't have to approve the January meeting because there was no minute.
No quorum.
So they're not technically minutes, so we don't have to approve them and add information because it was a presentation that gave us as a board information to
right.
vote.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it really was more like a
informational session.
Right. Information session.
Yes. Yeah. And I'll let Audrey know that was the case because of the show. Yeah. Okay. So that's that piece. Mm-hmm. And then the clarifications on the PC rules, I guess that was, you know, I was wanting to bring that up because of the forum, because of what happened last time. And the question is for you guys, of course, for all of us, is do we want to change the orders of procedure at this point, or do we want to go with our numbers now?
It depends on how many numbers.
Right. So we have 5. Dawn seemed like she was interested. I was going to talk to you guys about that. That would be 6.
My personal opinion, have at least 6, then requiring 4 seems fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We've been taking some time. So I'm just going to talk to Audrey to see the best thing on that. It's been 7 months.
Yeah, she might be bowing out, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
I haven't seen her since November.
Yeah, October.
November.
Right, I think
all winter.
So I agree with you, Judy, on that if we do have the 6, I think 4 makes sense. I don't know if there's other thoughts. If we keep
they
it.
Even do even numbers? So 4 members, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't that be odd?
Doesn't have to be.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I know, I mean, right? If we get into a voting
thing. If we split 50-50, then we're going to have to discuss more with each other.
Okay.
So
we're
going to
have. It usually isn't an issue, so.
Right.
It have to be better than.
But the 2/3 is the quorum, right? So that means
that
4.
That brought the 4. Yeah. So does that sound acceptable to keep as is for now? Okay. We've got consensus.
Can someone call in to occupy a seat? Satisfy the quorum.
My
cell phone be here right now, and Kate be on the other end of that because she.
Oh yeah, you can do. Yep. It just changes the rules a little bit from a voting standpoint.
Since we're required to have it available for people to attend, aren't we retired now?
Well, it really that's different for the Planning Commission versus some of the others. Not required, but if someone requests that, we would make it happen. Yeah, so obviously.
So a member could request that.
Yeah.
Request what?
Request that there it be an electronic
Zoom or a Google Teams.
Yeah, because the Select Board does it like every time.
Yeah, that's
it?
Their thing. Okay. Yeah. So, okay, so is everyone on consensus with regards to sticking with the 4 as a quorum
one
at
quorum?
This time?
Even has
it. Yeah. Greg, are you good on that?
I am.
You're good on
clearly
that?
Clearly anticipates electronic participation.
Yeah. And Judy and David, you said consensus on 4.
Sure.
You're fine with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. So I think we're hearing that all around. David, you were a yes on that? Okay. Okay, good. Okay. And then the elections piece. So I wanted to throw that out there at this point. Does anyone else want to be chair? Feel free. I am willing to do it. I don't mind doing that sort of background stuff. Obviously, we can all contribute into the agenda at any point. I've been trying to share it early. I know sometimes I do it Saturday morning, but I will definitely try to get back on my Friday regular routine. I apologize when I've been late on that. And anyone else want to do the chair thing?
No, thank you.
Okay, I'm willing.
Yeah. So you're taking on a lot.
That's how I was in the Town Services Committee. I'm like, I'm not doing chair. So you guys, so if someone wants to make a motion, I am willing. Yeah.
Okay, I move that. You should stay as chair. Allison.
I second.
Okay, so that's official? Okay.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye. A big aye.
Thank you. And then we need the vice chair and Judy. Are you open to?
Vice, since the vice president never look, has to do anything.
We need a lawyer, as of course.
I know. Chair. I know.
We need the legal
the guidance angle. Right. Are you willing? I don't want to.
Yes, I'm fine.
Okay. So I do nominate to make a motion for Judy Corso to be vice chair.
A second.
Okay. And we all agree. All in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Aye. Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. And then secretary.
I said aye.
Did you not hear it? I did say it. And then secretary.
I nominate Greg Clark because he's really good with his computer.
It's
there.
Amazing. He can work this off. He's like making it happen.
He can just do it up.
Yes.
I am willing. Fire me as necessary.
Okay.
All right.
That
thank
won't
you.
Happen.
So I make a motion to nominate Greg Pryor. And I do want to say, if possible, as interim secretary until I can maybe either confirm with Katie or we know she's officially gone.
She's professional at such things, yes.
Yes, yeah. So if we do the interim secretary, are you good with that, Greg?
Oh, absolutely.
Just real quick. Mm-hmm. She has been secretary.
Yes.
Is the meaning of this item that we're executing right now, is it that she is not, this body does not currently have a secretary?
Did her term end? We know we need to do elections for the new year anyway.
Oh, each and every year.
Yeah.
Oh,
This is a good conversation topic. I mean, she's an excellent secretary, and if she has an interest, putting the onus on her to say no might be a value.
Right. And that's where I haven't had any contact with her despite trying. So that's where I was going to just say, if you would want to do the interim secretary for now, and then we can just see what we're going to do since we have been held on that. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that's probably the best move right now. Yeah. Okay. So great.
Yeah, we should see what's up. I mean, quite honestly, on a more of a personal level, I'm a little concerned.
Yeah, I know.
Somebody just checks out. I mean,
I know.
That usually can be depression. I mean, something could be going on. I mean, we don't need to be involved, but as a neighbor, you are involved. I mean, she's a single woman over there. Yeah. I mean, it may not be going good. And
I reached out just a few times in support and just to let her know, and I don't want to harass her. I think I reached out maybe 3 times, but I think,
she's been, you know, here a long time that she would just say, gee, you know, I'm just at my wit's end or whatever.
Right.
But it just, to me, it's a little bit of a red flag, behaviorally.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's not a professional thing.
I concur. I was also here when she was nominated last time. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it was under duress, but she was definitely
hinting,
right?
Like kind of all set.
She was just so good at it, sort of thing. And I know that there's been a lot of work in the train station.
Oh, gosh, yes. She's
so burnout. So I concur that the one-on-one personal check-in is of value, but it would not surprise me
if she did her time. She's been working so hard. So okay, so we'll hold off on the secretary part and do the interim. And thank you, Greg.
Yes,
that's perfect. So we've got chair, we've got vice chair. That's all set. And then the discussion comments on Allison Lowe's piece. I know David just brought up a few of his questions and where he saw some holes on the minutes here or the report. Any other things that you guys wanted to discuss?
I would like to make a request for the 90% report to get up to speed.
Oh, I can send that along to you, no problem. Yes. I don't have a hard copy with me here. I did forget my binder. I apologize. I didn't have a chance to go home, but I'll definitely email that to you. Yeah, because Judy tracked that down, and you sent that out to us last time. Because first we had a 60% report, and then Judy had that had just come in more recently. So.
And my other thought from that gather last time was Allison was there to present for us, but she also off the cuff mentioned a few things about mapping, and that we possibly could have under our wing if it was, she felt it was probably out of scope, but gathering, you know, what her desires were.
Yeah, and I wanted to make a comment on that just for consideration. MBDA has a housing quota that they have to reach. So she was here, you know, she's select board, so she was offering the 90% report, but then she was also MBDA talking about Act 181, which they're really trying to still figure out Act 181, and there's going to be a ton of work because there's a new land use review board, and the land use review board has to go through Tier 3, which gets into all the critical resource areas. And that whole process is just beginning and is going to really impact a lot of town planning and bylaws and housing and where that all goes. And so I just wanted to add that, and this is just for consideration. I've talked to Dennis and Brian from the DRB and then our zoning administrator about it. But Act 81, there's a lot of planners around the state who really believe that this was really done for a specific development that's been in the works for 12 years in Shelburne that the town rejected, and now the now it's moving through because of Act 181 over the town, you know, regardless of what they think. And so a lot of the recommendation at this point has to be more conservative. Allison was pushing for a Tier 1B status, and but being more conservative and not necessarily trying to move through the Tier 1B may allow more of town influence on development moving forward. We're obviously, as a town, not at risk compared to Shelburne and those areas over there. But I just want to put it out as a consideration so that we don't lose the influence as a town, as a planning commission, as a select board, because of what's coming down on the state level. So I did just want to put that out for consideration because I know Allison was saying we could consider Tier 1B. There would be a few steps we need to do. And then the question is, you know, do we want a Tier 1B? And the last thing I just wanted to say on that is I think we're going to learn a lot as the Land Use Review Board maps out the critical resource areas for everywhere. And obviously she mentioned MVDA is doing a ton of mapping right now. So there's a thought in how much do we do on that when it might totally change based on what we can do and where these areas are assigned and what the maps look like on a regional planning commission and state level. So I just wanted to put that out for consideration.
What shall I consider?
Just thinking about if we would want to move forward with a Tier 1B status or if we want to be more conservative and not qualify for Tier 1B, which would basically remove some of the steps or regulations for housing and development.
Well, I think we all need to understand Act 181 a little bit more before we can even
make that decision.
I'm sorry, I knew there was a webinar, but I wasn't able to do
and
that.
Last one?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And correct me if I'm wrong, 181 is not ratified yet, right? It's still in development?
No, 181 is an act.
It is an act.
It is. Okay. That's Act 181 now. And that's the biodiversity. That was the biodiversity legislation that went through. But basically the part of that, and this is where Allison also didn't have a lot of information. She said, we're all still learning about it. It's also new. And the Land Use Review Board has just gotten together, and they're the ones that are going to be determining a lot of this. And so everyone's sort of in the place of we need to wait and figure it out.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Yeah, and that's really the bottom line. Like, the regional planning commissions are still trying to understand, really everyone's still trying to understand what it's going to look like.
So, like I said, I can't really get a substantial understanding.
No, there's nothing in
this note.
Yeah, because we didn't have that.
Does this body have a decision to make now or in the future?
Not right now.
In the future.
In the future,
the Planning
yes.
Commission has a decision to make. It's on a...
Yes, we're a part of the decision-making process because I think it would also involve the select board.
It's on our authority to make some sort of decision.
As to our status.
Right. There'll be a, you know, a question about whether we want to adopt... In order to be one of these tiers, we have to adopt subdivision regulations. Mm-hmm. I mean, and in one sense, we have subdivision regulations, but this refers to a separate, you know, a more involved thing, as far as subdivisions go. And that then get you out from under some of the 250
regs.
Allison's presentation was basically a soliloquy. So if you wanted to listen to the meeting minutes, it would move fairly quickly.
Oh, the recording.
Yeah, that is recorded. Yeah.
And because it is extremely interesting stuff, but there was a lot of buts.
Yeah. You know? And there's a lot of unknowns that she acknowledged in regards to her understanding of 181, because we're all in that same place. There's probably like five people in the state that really actually understand 181. And the tier three part, no one understands because it's just being developed with the new board.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like a very sort of, and the other part of it, like you brought up the subdivision aspect. The other part of it is a lot of it is dependent on town water and sewage capacity as to which tier you fall in. So that's going to also influence, you know, what the town can do or can't do or wants to do. So, because obviously we're just at a maintenance place right now, not expansion.
Just not slightly off topic, but just while I think of it, the 90% wastewater report, that refers to basically being 90% complete. It's in a draft form. The final may be available.
Right.
And I haven't looked.
I didn't either.
The consultant's evaluation is 90%.
Yes. Right. Yes.
So we probably should look up and see if the final's done.
And also just to communicate with the select board to see, like,
does the consultant's report address this question that we're talking about the last
Act 181? No, not at all. That's totally a separate thing, right? It will influence Act 181 once, you know, we see.
It's how it applies to us because of our limiting. It's a limiting factor. It's a critical factor.
Right.
For example, North Danville, even though it's a village center, would not qualify because it doesn't have sewer and water.
Right. Yeah, so a lot unknown on that, but just acknowledging that that's going to have some real big impacts on the town and the Planning Commission action, and we'll know more as it evolves.
So this is all so that it doesn't have to go through Act 250 anymore?
Mm-hmm. If you have...
It sounds more complicated than just sticking with Act 250.
That's what a lot of people believe.
It's like,
I know. It's a tricky one. And there's a lot of... Like, the Land Use Review Board has a ton of work. I've seen some presentations recently from them, and they don't even
know
what
they're
doing.
It seems like they could have fast-tracked a portion of Act 250 to deal with housing issues.
To try to do it. I know. So,
another I wish there was a little bit of reinventing the wheel.
Space right now is the bottom line of it. And I think I had talked to Allison, too, about as she's learning more from a regional planning commission standpoint, when she can come back to also communicate with us on some of that, too. So,
but what I did get out of this is that regardless of what happens, our need for subdivision regulations is going to have to be more detailed.
And that also brings me to one of the other things, you know, once we're done on this, that I wanted to get to based on the email thread that I sent you guys. But I also wanted to double check, Dawn, do you have any input or thoughts or questions at this point? Okay, good. All right. And so anything else?
So what is regarding this topic, what's next? What is the next thing that's going to happen?
The Land Use Review Board is trying to determine.
That is a body made of whom? Where?
That is a new body. I know. See? This is like on the state level.
See?
And it is essentially trying to...
Is it in Montpelier? Or is it in Danville?
It's a state level. State level. There's Planning Commission members, Regional Planning Commissions. Brooke Dingledine is the lawyer involved. Right. It's all essentially about land use planning.
Is Allison coming back here? Or
once she knows more...
Are we responding to something? Or
not
what's
at
the
this
next
point.
Thing that's going to happen?
I think it was just awareness around the fact that this is law. The Land Use Review Board has certain things to square away.
Just getting going.
Yeah, exactly. And we need to sort
it's
of
like
keep an eye and wait and see. And it to me, the message really is there's not too much action we really want to take because anything they decide is going to influence.
It's going to be preemptive.
And we could have just been wasting our time until we get some of that feedback and direction from
But what we also are doing is gathering information. Yes. I mean, for example, the wastewater capacity and where
so
it
that
is,
we know
that
what
sort of
the
thing.
Limit is.
And
right
yeah,
off.
Yeah.
And the same on the water system. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten some information additionally mm-hmm. on that
to share.
Well, I can right now.
Oh,
yeah,
that'd be great.
Well, I haven't. Tim is
yes.
getting me a map and a mm-hmm. bit more facts and figures. But I mean, basically, what I talked to him about is just the extent of the fire district,
mm-hmm.
Which is larger than village.
Okay.
So there are more people with water than sewer.
Mm-hmm.
Although there are some that may be a couple of things, places that have water. That have sewer but not water.
Yes.
Okay.
That came up last yeah. meeting, yes.
So, I mean, I can tell you the boundaries are basically Route 2 west to, I don't know if you're the Summers, it's a couple of houses past Larrabee's.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Route 2 east down to Marty's.
Mm-hmm.
Rainard Street. I'm pointing the wrong direction. Down to Sherryland.
Okay.
Although there is a line that runs from Sherryland down to the old farm, the next farm
that
there.
That goes off.
But that's sort of an unofficial
extension.
Not quite. Tim wasn't quite sure who actually did it and whether who owned it.
Oh,
because
interesting.
Or whether it was functional even.
Right. Well, and plus whoever owns the farm now, because it's not a farm anymore.
Yeah, I'm not sure who.
Actually, I think one of, does Bruce Brinks have a son?
Oh, I don't know. Okay.
So
maybe in that,
that family bought it.
That was, might have somebody.
That was Cochran's farm,
right? They're gone, right? So, but anyway, they might be digging a well,
okay?
Because whatever pipe is going out there is kind of an unknown, and they
yeah.
don't necessarily
question.
Like having a question.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. So anyway, down to Sherryland,
north to somewhere up Hill Street, right?
Well, up to Vance.
Okay. Yeah.
At the fork.
Chris,
sorry, what's the
Webster Hill Road?
Yes,
okay,
thank you.
Good, thank you.
Yeah, and cool. on
this is domestic water,
Peacham
this
Road,
is water.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. Peacham oh. down to I don't know if you know where the Gallerani's
yeah.
used mm-hmm. to live.
I don't think I've
yeah, there's the Red Barn White House,
okay,
it's a
right next to
yeah,
the
there's
town.
A Red Barn on the left, there's a nice house, I don't know, on the right.
Mm-hmm. White.
It's red.
It's
Bill,
actually
white.
A larger space than I
yeah,
thought.
White.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's a good.
It's a Bill Gray's restoration.
Yeah.
Fancy property.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, and it's because when they were putting in the sewer was just more, I guess, much more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was limited.
For this, they could run.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Okay,
yeah.
No, thank you.
So will there be a map involved? Is this something that.
Well, Tim said he had something.
He has
yeah.
some, so we may see that. And I apologize. I was typing stuff. When you were talking, Sugar Ridge Campground is on water, correct?
It is.
I believe they.
Tim
he
told me down to Marty's.
That's way past Marty's.
That's way
yeah,
past
that's
Marty's.
A long way. So there was a million. There's a million gallons of water during that fire business, and I just.
Yeah, we can ask that. That's
yeah.
a good question.
Yeah.
Are you in touch? I'll actually see Tim at the town services, or we
yeah.
could ask him at town.
I may
meeting.
Have misunderstood
yeah.
something I heard, but that's
okay.
so I'm curious to that. Just
no,
personally.
And it's
that's
yeah.
a big, that's
no,
a big
he's
difference.
A big difference. No,
yeah.
he said down to Marty's.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I concur. That's a well across the bridge line is down to Marty's convenience store.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's a long way.
Yeah. yeah. No. Yeah, not Marty's house.
So I need to take a step back. So you're describing. The
fire district.
The fire district, which provides water.
Potable water.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so Tim Ide
yep.
has a map, but it's not in this building. Tim Ide has it. And
well, I don't know where it is exactly. And I'm sorry. Tim has it. Yeah.
Right.
Tim has it
right.
because Tim and Janice sort of do everything.
Right.
Okay. They're the water.
They're the water.
They take care of it. It
yeah.
may be in the here as well.
Probably.
It's just that if you ask the town clerk, she'll say you would better talk to Tim.
It may very well be hanging right there.
I mean, for all we know,
but,
yeah.
But we can make that happen.
But this is part of the town services process.
Exactly.
Right? Sewer and water, all of that is.
We're going through all that.
You see, but it's just not the town.
There's a few different thoughts here. So the water isn't part of the town, but we're trying to see if that's going to come in. This is a town. There's a new town services committee that's just getting going, and we're specifically looking at wastewater, water, law enforcement, if we're going to bring something in. So this is the process of where are we going with all of these public works, for example. Because like you're saying, you're probably best explaining this about the water.
Well, no, just that it's a fire district. It's not owned or run by the town.
And that's all being potentially altered depending on where we
So you have the sewer district, the fire district, you know, it's kind of like...
Mm-hmm. They're separate
entities. A little bit hodgepodge.
So
you have revenues and expenditures and maintenance.
So when I get a bill, because I'm in the village here, we get a sewer bill from the town, and we get a water bill from the fire district.
Okay.
And that might change. Right, as we see. So, and so Tim Ide is the one to talk to, because you had also said this is important to me.
On the water. He is an officer of the water district.
And then one other person. That's literally
the manager.
Is Janice the other person? Or is there somebody else?
I think it's the couple.
We don't know, so, right?
Right. Yeah.
But are you familiar with the town services charter? And it's a brand new thing. Very interesting. Highly recommend to, because again, all these things are good.
And we've got a survey.
Yeah, we're soliciting input.
What do you recommend?
All these spaces that we're talking about are in flux, basically. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
but the meeting,
I'm completely open to the public, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So there might be things that are particular value to you in that.
I had put out who from the Planning Commission wants to jump in, but I never heard back. So I was like, okay, Glenn, count me in. I'll do it, which is fine. So, and we have a survey that we just put together. Yeah. If people have feedback on services they want to see, like one man wants to see a pool. And a sauna, which would be amazing.
That's great.
Again, I said, show me the money.
That'd be a special tax
district. That would be awesome. Buy the lottery ticket. Anyway, and if you have more interest in the town services, they're totally looking for input. So
it does seem like there will be some consolidation
in terms of
management.
I think
going forward.
Yeah. And I just wanted to confirm, too, and you had said this before, but I wanted to make sure I understood, because I just feel like it's so different from other towns. As far as you know, there's no chlorine. It's good.
Normally, there is no chlorine.
Except, like, that shock treatment they have.
That was the first time in all the years I've lived here that I've ever tasted chlorine.
It just makes me so happy to hear that.
It's fantastic water.
Okay, good.
It's a deep well,
yep.
A spring-fed well,
mm-hmm.
And it's primarily gravity. The other thing is, I love it because if the power goes off, we still have water.
Yeah, it's always nice to grab these systems.
Still flush the toilet.
That is amazing.
There's no tank.
No pond. Right?
Which has got head pressure.
There are some tanks. There's a pond up there, but
no pumping.
Where's the well?
If you go up the Walden Hill Road, and then right where the town highway 54, they call it Kittredge Road.
Okay.
So basically the height of the land where that other town road cuts across, beautiful view of the White Mountains from up there. That whole section there is called the Water Andrick, mm-hmm. I believe. So,
and there's no storage.
There are tanks.
Okay.
But I think
but
that's
all gravity fed.
But it's gravity fed from there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually, if you, it's closer to Route 2 on Kittredge Road. So if to give you an idea in your head, if you go up Route 2 and you come to Whiteman Road, which attaches to Kittredge Road.
Mm-hmm. The backside.
It's up there. It's about halfway. It's, you go past the Berry Farm and it's up the hill from there.
And I would say it would be really important, I'll connect with Tim, or if you do, just to see about the map. It'd be nice for us to have our hands on with some of that, too, just to see what's going on.
I don't want to overpromise here. I mm-hmm. thought he said there was a map, but he might have been just indicating that he could.
This is the map, verbally.
His head is the map.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Look through the bills and you'll figure out where the...
Right. But we can follow up. We'll probably be at town meeting.
Oh,
so I think
definitely be at town
meeting. Exactly, yeah. Okay,
and,
good.
And we're getting down the rabbit hole, but again, it's not just the consumer's face to the town services. There's a lot of operations in, like, if somebody's doing maintenance along a road near a fire hydrant or something, somebody from the town needs to be there to say what they can do and can't do, et cetera, et cetera. So we keep speaking of the limited amount of people that are engaged in this process. And that's so from the town side, they're trying to address their operations as well, not just their customer.
Right, right. Yeah. Good call, good call.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Well, particularly because, like a lot of things, the folks who are volunteering are aging.
And
except for you, of course.
The participation and engagement is dwindling, exactly. So, okay. Okay, so any other last questions or thoughts on water or wastewater? Because I did want to show you guys, what time are we at here, just to check in. It is 8:18. Yeah. Because I did want to go through, gosh, if I can pull this up. I'm shifting gears unless anybody wants to go further into the other pieces. Okay. Okay. So what had basically come up? Oh gosh, did this shut itself off? Goodness gracious. Let's see if I can get this to work. I had it all pulled up and working. So you do have a handout of it, but essentially, Toby and Rob Balladay had brought some language about subdivisions and boundary line adjustments to the table. Yes, so thank you. The forwarded conversation. Yes. Oh, and then I sent this one separately. So yes, you're right. The single sheet and the staple sheet. Thank you. Oh, and I have to see if this is going to... Let me do it again. Bear with me. I'm sorry. Oh, my gosh. So in case people wanted to look up there, try to zoom it. And you also, it is printed out in this forwarding conversation where I'll show you. There's, on the front page of the staple, there's the old law. And then on the flip page, there's the new law. So basically what happened here was we all had accepted the language that Toby and Rob had put out for this boundary line subdivision. And then Dennis reached out, Dennis Marquis, the zoning administrator. And you can see this on the forwarded conversation first page. And so we have a little bit of a glitch that came up because in the new law, where you can see... his note. He said, "Hello, Glenn and Allison. I'm just going to read it. I was wondering if I'm interpreting the new ordinance correctly. What is meant by the phrase 'any other subdivision' in 701.2A, and does that square with 701.3? So basically, what I talked to Toby right away after this, and I was like, okay, what was your intention? What's the confusion here? And what Dennis said was, in all the other towns he works, he can do a 2-lot subdivision. Anything else has to go to the DRB for a site plan review. That is how he seems to like it. That is how Brian seems to like it. I spent a lot of time going back and forth with everybody. And so what we have here is in 701.2A, any other subdivision which results in lots that conform to district standards or... Sorry,
It should be reduced.
Thank you, thank you. Yeah.
Reduces the nonconformity.
I just have to move it over. Yes, thank you. Or reduces the nonconformity of existing lots shall be considered a permitted subdivision. The zoning administrator shall issue the permit without requiring a DRB hearing unless there are other considerations. So basically what we ran up against, and this is where I just wanted to get ideas and thoughts from you guys, and then I can work on language. I can go back to Toby.
What's the question?
Yeah, I'm going to get there in one sec, but just as I put it out there, I just want to, anything you guys think about this. So with this language, one of the ways it could be interpreted, which is the concern for some, is that if you have a big parcel and someone divides it into 10 lots, if they all conform to district standards, then the zoning administrator, Dennis, would be able to go, boom, 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 it's happening. I can do this. I have the authority. And he doesn't have that anywhere else. Brian, who I really respect and trust, is, he's, chair of the DRB, said, we need a site plan review if there's going to be more than two lot subdivision. That was his recommendation. And the other important piece, which would get bypassed here, which I don't think is good, let me know, is that the abutters wouldn't be told. So, like, the abutters should know if there's a subdivision happening, especially if there's a large subdivision happening. And Brian's recommendation was they need a site plan review. So you can see in the single sheet, all the details are through this packet here. You guys can ask me and I'll try to explain my best. But you can see from Dennis's on the single sheet, this was the final email from Dennis. And Brian's is in here as well. It said, I'm just going to read it so we're on the same page. In speaking to Toby a couple of weeks ago, he indicated the intent of that language was for me to approve all complying subdivisions. This is how I interpret it and why I raised the question. I'm not sure that was the intent of the statute or the Planning Commission. I would recommend me approving all boundary line adjustments, and if the Planning Commission is willing to allow me approve simple complying two-lot subdivisions, but only with written notice to the neighbors, but I'm not wedded to even handling find two-lot subdivisions, except that it simplifies things for applicants. Clearly, all other subdivisions complying or not should receive DRB. So both Brian and Dennis are on the same page that the DRB should approve anything more than a two-lot subdivision. So the question for us is, are we okay with Dennis approving a two-lot subdivision if it conforms to district standards? Yep. So are we comfortable with that? And then if that's the case, I need to just change the language and work with Toby on making sure that the boundary line adjustments can be done and the two-lot subdivision could be done, unless people have concerns or thoughts and don't want that to happen.
So Brian's other statements, larger subdivisions should be open to public comment.
Yes.
Anything larger, more complex should stand for site plan reviews.
Yes.
You're stating if we stick to just two plots, then this gets addressed somewhere else? Because he seems to be stating that we're not only allowing something somewhere, but we're also not speaking to the larger B?
Well, I think it would be like we can do whatever language we think makes sense and we want to, but the biggest thing would be if we agree that a two-lot subdivision that conforms to district standards is acceptable as long as neighbors are notified and there's time in public comment, that he should be able to do that. And he does do that in other towns. We can say yay or nay on it. But we want to make sure that, at least in my opinion, and what I'm hearing from people, is that if there's more than two-lot subdivision, that we don't go there or allow the zoning administrator to have the authority on that alone, and there should be the site plan. So that's kind of
there's no conflict between head of the DRB and zoning administrator. So, yeah. How did this come up? Is there some change that there was going to?
Yes.
I think the 2A, I think when we changed point two.
We?
As the Planning Commission.
We changed it. That's language that we approved. I think the one that says 2A was supposed to be deleted.
No, that was what he added.
Is the 2A?
Yeah, because it was the old law, you can see on the first page, which is 701.2 and 701.3. So you can see it at the bottom of the first page of this email.
Okay.
Yeah, let me find that. It's right on that first page. Oh, sorry. Thank you. Yes. There it is.
Okay. What, this change occurred
in the recent zoning bylaw.
Okay. All right.
And Rob was here, and Toby and Rob were here. And I think what happened is we didn't think enough about it, and we let that sort of go through. And then you can see there's also something that Toby added to something.
Was this Bob's initiative to?
Toby and Rob.
Oh, what problem did they have?
A boundary line adjustment, simple boundary line adjustment that forms district standards. So they were trying to allow a boundary line adjustment to have just the zoning administrator bypassing if it conforms to district standards. So if it was an easy, like, boom, yep, this works, no problem. And but what the language that they gave us that we approved opened up was this issue around any other subdivision. So basically what's happening right now is 701.2A and 701.3 are kind of like butting heads to each other.
So wait a second, I'm confused because if we already, what you're saying is the old one allowed the boundary line.
Yeah.
So that wasn't the change. The change was 2A, which was to allow them to do to a simple subdivision, allow the zoning office
to do a subdivision, but we didn't put a number on that. Any other subdivision or a two lot subdivision. So basically the difference, David, is, in 2A, it says any other subdivision which results in lots that conform to district standards, you know, would be allowed by the zoning administrator. But then 701.3 says applications for all subdivisions of land other than permitted boundary line adjustments for subdivision shall be subject to site. So this is where Dennis's question was, how do I interpret the language? And so this is where, in conversation with them, trying to get understanding back, talk to you guys about it, was Dennis and Brian, like you said, David, are on the same page with a simple two-lot subdivision and being comfortable with that. Anything else should go for site plan review. And we need to ensure that the language is in there, that the neighbors would be notified, they have opportunity for and regarding the boundary line adjustment, or what I wanted to do was get your thoughts on that. Just to understand my intention, was are you okay with this two-lot subdivision? If it can, because then I need to go back to Toby, and I need to understand more of what he was trying to do separate, different there. I think it was just this subdivision.
Right. And I thought we discussed it, and that it was going to be just two lots.
Yeah.
A two-lot subdivision, and that there was going to be something about the notice to the neighbors in there.
Yeah, and so the language that was given to me that we had all looked at was this. This is what we, the 701.2A. And obviously, this is what we need to adjust and get clarity on. And Toby did have a comment in here that I'm just looking for, because I talked to him.
His comment was, it's substantially, he just wanted to slave them to each other, you know.
Yeah, where he was adding that little bit of language. But that still didn't address what Dennis's concern was.
Toby verbatim is, I think 701.3 should read, all subdivisions of land other than permitted boundary land adjustments or subdivisions provided for under 701.2 or something substantially similar.
And this is where that suggestion from him didn't seem to address what Dennis's concern was.
And that was January 28th, 10:50.
Yes, I was, thank you. Oh, yes, got it.
There's not a lot of guidance.
No, it didn't really clarify it to me. Somehow we have to have the number 2 in there if we agree to the two-lot subdivision.
It seems simple, the request here. Mm-hmm. What is our time frame? Does this need to come out of this meeting?
Not at all, no.
Can we take this offline and wrap our heads around
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Yes, and that's where I just wanted to present the issue that they were running up against, because Dennis and Brian are definitely running into, and there's a few other things that Brian brought to me for us to try to clarify, because there's different understanding and interpretation of the language, and then it makes it really hard for them at the BRB. So we obviously just did the zoning bylaw. The next one wouldn't be necessarily for 2 years, but I'd love to try to do something sooner to clarify the top priority things for them, such as this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where if you guys can think on it, and then I'll also talk to Toby, so I can report back to you guys, unless someone else wants to, and just see if we go to what Dennis and Brian are thinking, does it also satisfy what Toby's intention was, and do we all agree to that? So, go ahead, David, sorry.
I the way my brain works, I can't digest anything dense for other signals.
Right. Yes.
So.
Yeah.
So we're gonna go away, and we're gonna, it sounds like this dialogue says we decided, but let me just say what my confusion is.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a thing that the contradiction, or at least.
Yeah.
So right now, that there's some logical.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
and this paragraph 2A doesn't actually. There's a complete redundancy. 2A doesn't clear.
Right.
So a subdivision which adjusts A value. Mm-hmm. So this is a single. This is about a single value. Between two lots and results in second district standards or reduces them shall be considered. That means considered means that the zoning administrator can expedite the issuance of this permit.
That's what
zoning administrator
should do. About the DRB.
Exactly.
That requirement. And this next paragraph says, any other subdivision. So other means other than, it's in reference to this paragraph. So it's referring to. So any other subdivision, meaning one that does not have a single boundary, which creates conforming, which results in lots that conform to district standards. The other subdivision, which results in plural, unspecified district subdivision, just shall be considered subdivision. So here's my comment that this is follows from this. This is the only statement. This is incorporated in this statement. This is just a special case of the statement. So this statement is the general statement. This statement is unnecessary.
But the first statement is actually what they would like to see happen. Because that is...
I mean, as it stands. So we can get to what... how to change it. But the logical problem here is that this statement says, essentially this says, there's no every single subdivision, this results in lots that conform the district standards,
right,
or reduce non-conformity, is permitted.
Right.
Every single one,
that's
of them, including ones that involve only a single boundary.
Right.
Exactly.
So this is just a subset of this.
Exactly.
Right. And that is not what is intended.
Exactly.
And that's exactly the red flag that Dennis showed up.
Yes.
Glenn Heron basically just stated almost verbatim the conclusion that you just went to, too. And obviously he has value with it. So, I'd recommend in the next rewrite that they be combined, et cetera, et cetera. So that's in this trail when she didn't
change
it.
Although it was not our intent to do that.
Exactly.
So valid red flag.
Yeah, and that's what Dennis is calling out, and that's why I'm bringing it to you guys of, one, are you okay with this boundary line adjustment with the two-lot subdivision if abutters or neighbors are notified? Yeah, but think on that. We don't need an answer
now. So can I just repeat it back to you?
Definitely.
All right, so once we clarify that logical problem, those two paragraphs are not distinct. They should be collapsed in the room. We have one statement which these two gentlemen don't like. The two gentlemen we're referring to.
And we don't like either.
Right.
Don't agree with.
Right.
They don't agree with paragraph 2A, which is, it's just,
and neither do any
which is essentially saying all subdivisions that create conforming lots
right.
shall be permitted. They're saying no.
Right.
Because, and why? Can you tell me what they're...
Just the risk of the neighbors wouldn't be involved.
Hazard is of this...
Is that because you can have an unlimited amount of subdivisions
yes.
without plots, without yes. notification,
public
without public notification.
So oh, wait. Oh, well. Okay. So it's a scale
an issue.
And all subdivisions must require a butter
notification.
Right? Did we exclude that in some way?
Normally, the subdivision require notice to the neighbors. It would also require a hearing in front of the development review board, which would look to make sure that things were being done properly and that,
yeah.
you know, taken all sorts of things into consideration and that we've, and all the regulations talk
right.
about in more detail.
And so everyone, people in this room and not in this room, all agree that all subdivisions require that neighbors be apprised. And have
I would say absolutely, yes.
I mean, I didn't even know that wasn't the case.
Right. Well, I think what the risk is if the zoning administrator has carte blanche to go do all these subdivisions, then that, without us, you know, specifically stating that, then that could be the case. And that was also Dennis and Brian's concern. And so there's a few different things on the table right now. One is
I didn't even know that was possible.
It's not possible.
Right.
So if it
and
conforms.
The only, and we created an exception for a boundary line, which you don't have to notify the neighbors, because for God's sake, it's the boundary between
right.
the neighbors. So if you're agreeing to do it, you already know you don't have to notify the guy on the other side because it doesn't have
because
anything to do with
it. It's
right.
essentially not a new subdivision. It's just an
right.
adjustment.
It's
I mean,
just
it
an adjustment. Okay.
Wow.
And that's fine. What we don't want is, even though we might trust, you know, on a simple subdivision, you know, creating a single lot, that meets all the requirements. Okay, the zoning officer can deal with that.
Because it's a permitted subdivision already.
And it meets
we're
the,
stating that
the,
it's permitted.
Well, that's we're saying it's okay. Yes. If you got something more than two lots, where you're talking about, you know, where are the utilities going, where are the roads going, where's shared driveway, multiple driveways, you know, how is that going to affect traffic? There's all sorts of other issues that the Developmental Review Board ought to have a chance to look at, and that the neighbors
yes.
ought to have some input into.
And I think it's sounding like we're all on that same
yes.
page. I mean, people can think about that. But Dennis said, okay, I'm open to doing that if that was the intent. But I don't do that in any other town. He does the two plot subdivisions. So
I think what we need to tell him is that little line that says, unless there are other considerations,
mm-hmm.
he ought to take that to mean that the consideration is it's more than, until we get a chance to fix it, it
yes,
means,
what it means.
It means don't do more than
two.
Two.
And that's what I wanted to see. Like, do we want to have consensus and agree on that now so
yes.
I can pass that on to him?
Yes.
So until we can make the official change in the bylaw.
And we say, we're saying actually we're creating one new lot.
Yep.
So there are that one lot, there are now two lots, but you're actually only creating one new lot.
Yes.
That sort of subdivision. Being done by the zoning officer is
accepted.
Fine with me.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
if it conforms to the standards.
Yes,
exactly.
And your butters are known.
Exactly.
Yes.
Making sure that
yeah.
that's
see,
the
that's
case.
The part I.
That's important.
Talk, because we did that. We had
yeah.
Notified them.
Yes.
Right. And I
and that should be the process.
And when we did this.
No, that was a direct permit. But you still had to, you know, post it. And notify abutters.
Mm-hmm.
We just made a mistake somehow.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We discussed all this. We agreed
just
all that. It's somehow
churned out,
you know.
Right. And Toby tried to fix the language, but I think what he offered does not make sense, in my opinion. So I am going to follow up with him on that. Maybe I'm misunderstanding that. But I think the first piece right now is, are we all 100%
yes.
in consensus on me conveying to Dennis moving forward that this subdivision from one lot to two lots, if it conforms
create your
to district
creating,
standards.
See, because this talks about adjusting it,
mm-hmm.
not creating.
So,
right. But, well, what you want to understand is that what we understand is a boundary line adjustment, in fact, is a subdivision and an exchange of deeds. So what you're subdividing off 5 inches from this guy, you know, and giving, they're moving the line, they're doing something. It results in one neighbor getting something, the other neighbor getting something, but it's not the same thing they had. So technically you're creating these little mini lots, you know, that, so that on the boundary line adjustment, you might in fact be creating 4 lots out of 2, because those little mini lots that gives your neighbor 5 inches down by the road and that gives you 5 inches next to your garage, it's a subdivision. And unless you specify that a boundary line adjustment is not a subdivision, they have to go through the whole shebang and right. having
okay.
maps right. and going to a developmental view board, incredibly you know, complex. Incredibly complex
right.
because one neighbor wants to be able to move their driveway right. and the other one wants
setbacks
to
setbacks or whatever. You're just trying to
right.
deal with
so the this really constraint. Does streamline yeah. that and allows the zoning administrator, as long as it's conforming, to
right.
move forward
just do that.
And avoid parking. So as long as we are doing, and basically, what I just want to make sure at this point that Dennis is interpreting it properly for himself, for his sake, based on what we agree to, and then obviously we need to fix the bylaw and language and make sure that's all clear and solid. And that will take a little more time.
Yeah, and when and I read through here next rewrite, that doesn't tell me for a while.
Well, we can do it whenever we want to. I mean, my personal opinion is that we fix this sooner fix versus this. Later, and it should be very easy.
Has someone proposed? Are you going to? Or did?
I was going to talk to Toby, Brian, and Dennis on that. To just get their feedback, and I can work. I was going to work on the language then and then bring it to you guys to see if you guys are agree to that. If someone else wants to take that on, great, but I want to make sure we nail it down properly.
And I think, again, Glenn provided
some thought on some that
in literal form, too. So, it's a
yes.
way that maybe a true value.
Yeah,
he provided new language.
He provided some thoughts on it right here, yeah. And that's in this email thread as well. Yeah.
You know, I didn't have a chance to read this through.
Yeah, I know. It just
it
popped
either.
In. Exactly.
But, you know, I do think that...
Being the new yes. guy, I went through and I color-coded everything.
I'll read it to you here, too. It says, for the next bylaw update, I suggest combining and rewriting 701.2 and 2A into one. Any subdivision which adjusts boundary lines between lots and reduces or eliminates the nonconformity of the existing lot shall be considered a permitted adjustment. The zoning administrator shall issue the permit. And then again, we're back at, I need to clarify with Dennis and Brian because Dennis didn't feel comfortable, it seemed, with doing that two lot subdivision. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, what's, I mean, you could tweak. The first part.
Exactly.
And that's fine.
Exactly.
It's really the A
yes.
that needs to be, because that was intended to be something different.
Yeah.
And yes, between what Glenn has said and asking Toby for some language.
Yes. And if Toby had some other intent that we're not understanding, then obviously he'll say that, and I can, you know, let him. But I think, obviously, it needs to be fixed. And as Brian has and just want to make sure that.
And Dennis and Brian's concerns are.
Yep.
Here in.
Dennis was on the first page. Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I just wanted to forward the conversation because this is what we're going through sort of over the past time. Yeah. And so I have that understanding that I had committed to you guys that I was going to pass on to Dennis at this time just to, as a holdover until we can get the language squared away. I can have Audrey. You have one? Because I can have Audrey print you one,
the
too.
The most.
Okay, okay.
I don't know that...
Where's an electronic version that
yes.
I can easily access?
Yes.
That includes the changes that we are discussing.
The town website.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
It is,
and that's all been updated. Yes. So that was one glitch that came out. And then we don't need to dive into it tonight. Where are we at? 8:47. I'm just starting to get more information from Brian on it. Some of the stuff they're dealing with at Joe's Pond with their permitting, there's again some language confusion, not because of something we did in this case, but because of definitions that are lacking from a state level, from a town level. So there's interpretations by lawyers different. And so I am just getting that from Brian. I had a different email, but we just started that thread.
Is that some particular project?
It was a project that just had approval, but he understood it very different than the lawyer and the developer and the homeowner. And so he was hoping for real clarity on definitions moving forward. So I'll bring that to us next time, because he just shared it with me, and I'm just trying to understand it. And he's trying to, I think, figure out what would need to happen to resolve. So that's basically the page that was on. I will forward you guys the email that I just got from on that, so you guys can at least put it in your minds. And then, yeah. And Don, jump in at any point.
It's hard to wrap your head around that Joe's Pond stuff, because it's really complex.
It is.
Nothing's conforming.
Exactly.
So there's just, right. Every time somebody wants to do something, they're just going to hire a lawyer and just try and
jam it through.
Just push through whatever they can, because nothing is
conforming. And the biggest things that are coming up of like impervious, and what counts for a footprint.
Right.
And the stormwater stuff, which the state is dealing with on a high level too right now. So again, it's like definitions and unknowns. And if there's something we can do to offer clarity to them as they try to enforce the bylaws and do what's right there. So I'll email you the start of that thread. Think about it. Check it out.
Yeah, I don't envy anybody having me.
Oh, Brian's amazing.
And it's just a tough deal out there. And people are into really high value properties now, so they're going to push. I mean, they're going
to
be.
And they got the money and the lawyers to do it. And that's what I'm seeing happen on the other side of the state. So I feel like having tight bylaws is going to be important, in my opinion. So I'm sorry. I know that was sort of a confusing one. You can see we went all over the place with it in an email thread. But I think the biggest thing, like you had said, David, was that Brian and Dennis were on a very similar page.
Yeah.
We all seem to be in agreement on some of those pieces. So we'll fix that ideally sooner versus later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That all sound okay at this point?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if you guys have other thoughts as it comes up, obviously just let me know and we'll throw it on the agenda. We'll make sure we put this on the next agenda anyway. Okay. So that was the bylaw update, proposed language, technicality stuff that I had for the last part of this agenda. And then... do you guys have anything else related to some of the stuff?
Maybe after the meeting, if you're on the services, maybe I need to ask some questions of you guys.
Perfect.
About what's happening so that I don't do stuff that you're...
Good call.
Sorry.
Absolutely.
But I don't, doesn't have to.
Yeah, we can absolutely do that. And I was going to put out there, Dawn, depending on where you're at and what you're thinking... Do you still have an interest of jumping on board?
Yeah,
okay.
That wasn't enough to scare you.
I know, right?
I know.
She's like still here. I was like, okay, anything to say? Do you want to just like tell us just you and anything about you, or do you want to share anything in particular?
Well, let's see. I've been in West Anvil since 2009.
Oh, you're West Anvil. Good. Mm-hmm. We need,
yeah. We need West Anvil.
We typically, I want to be...
Inclusive.
Representative.
Exactly.
I am Animal House of New England. I'm the old Cochrane House is what we have. Across from Whiteman. So on Power Plant Road.
Right. That was a kennel?
We ran an overnight daycare kennel.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I know that.
Yeah. There's nobody around us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except
yeah,
the power plant.
Yeah, that's an odd little road there, yeah.
Yeah, and listening to what you were saying about the subdivision, which is interesting, because like I know right before we bought the property, the Cochrans were thinking about subdividing that.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to get a whole plot map. They had to do a whole bunch of stuff, and they wanted just about that 2.5 acres, and then the rest.
Together.
So it was interesting listening. To
that. Yeah, mm-hmm. and just trying to see what's the best process around that. So yeah. So thank you. You are interested?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'd love to.
Are you guys good with that?
Mm-hmm.
Dawn wants to jump in? Okay.
And what's your last name?
Britton. Dawn.
I grew up in the Whiteman Farm. So I was, I was babysat in that house.
Oh, that's so cool. That's so cool.
Stood outside that house waiting for the bus. Been frozen here many more.
Will forever be known as the Cochran House.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good history. So if that is the case, and thank you, I have a form for you to fill out. And basically the next step is we just have to get that to the select board. They have to appoint you, and then you're in, and that should be for the next meeting. And that would be awesome. Because then we're at 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, and we'll see about Kate, and we'll see if there's any other interest. But that would be better than where we were at because we were just lost. So, so thank you. Awesome. Okay, good. Okay, so any other comments?
Okay. My only comment was, yeah, I noticed the train station was full of contractors the other day. I'm like, they must be so bad.
Oh, for the warmth?
Well, no, just that something was going on.
Oh, like town-wise. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I'm sure.
To get people back in.
Because it looked like siding was going up.
Good.
And, I mean, it was full of trucks, so I'm like, wow.
It's happening
again. It's happening because, you know, it was kind of like Deadsville. And,
right. So what is...
Oh, it's amazing. It's such a great project. I'll fill you in afterward because I'm sure people want to try to get out of here. So,
but anyway, I happened to notice that and it made me happy. And I'm sure Kate, I guess, must be involved with that. That's
if
probably
she's still, where her
really,
energy is.
And Mike, Hulk, I'm sure he's still involved
yep.
with that.
And then so Rob is obviously,
they must
you know,
be psyched.
But such a great
people
transformation
weren't
of what
you know,
it's going to be.
Contractors
really
weren't
good.
Showing up. And yeah. So now there's activity. So that's good.
Yes. Okay. All right. Then, unless there's anything else, I will call the meeting.
Next meeting is?
So, it is, the next meeting date-wise, I don't have my phone.
March 27th?
I think it's the same date as February, yes. Yeah. So, Thursday, March 27th, 7:30, we'll reconvene. And anything else before I close? Okay. So, 8:54. The meeting is closed. Thank you guys all so much.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
At the Chamber of Commerce, they're looking for a date.